There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is episode 19 of the DesignFootball.com podcast. My name is Jay. I am the resident blogger on DesignFootball.com. Today I'm rejoined by Dennis Hurley, who's been on before. Dennis Hurley runs the Museum of Jerseys website and everything that is related to that, which is lots of different websites. The reason why Dennis is on is we are doing another club special, and it's Arsenal. And Dennis is an Arsenal fan. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Hi, Jay. How are things? It's great to be on one of the best kit podcasts around.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good start. Put me in the right frame of mind to go forward. So we did a podcast with Austin Long, episode 18, where we talked about Manchester United, particularly the new Manchester United kits. Did you listen to that, Dennis?
I did indeed, yes. The day it was published, I believe.
On the day it was published where? On Acast, or the day it was published on Desired Football? Because there's a discrepancy there.
Wherever it was first.
Okay. Yeah, it has to go on Acast first. So, you are an Arsenal fan. Now, the first thing is a very belated happy St. Tottenham's Day to you. How did you enjoy that day?
It was bittersweet, obviously, because, you know, Arsenal had thrown away a great chance to fight for the title, but it was still very, very, very funny to watch Tottenham somehow managing to concede 5 goals against a relegated Newcastle side.
Okay. And the goal difference, it needed a big swing of goals, didn't
no,
it?
For it didn't. You to... No.
Oh,
no.
Didn't it?
It was points, yeah. So I think...
All right.
I think a draw would have done Spurs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. I thought you needed goals as well. I thought you needed a swing of goals to finish.
No, Arsenal finished a point above them, I think.
Oh, okay, that actually happened in the end. Okay, yeah. Fair enough then, Dennis, but congratulations on that hollow victory.
Yeah, now, very hollow. It was still funny. Arsenal,
of course. I don't like Tottenham either. But no, I'm completely impartial on all football clubs.
Can I get in a plug at this point, seeing as we mentioned Tottenham?
Oh, we're going to do that straight away. Something about your website before we've even talked about anything on this podcast.
Okay, sorry,
okay, go on.
Preempted you.
No, go for it.
On the Museum of Jerseys Twitter account, every Friday, I tweet a counterfactual history, I suppose you'd call it, of what-if kits. And today, it's as if Tottenham had Adidas kits in 1984, and there's a home kit, an away kit, European kit, and goalkeeper kits, and a European away kit. And they've proven quite popular so far. Obviously, it's still early in the day, and by the time this is published, it'll be a few days later. But everyone check that. So, and check all the other ones, and check the site. And check all my sites.
Well, I would have got to all of that at
I know
the end
you
of the
would.
Podcast anyway, but it's good to get in there.
You're the host.
No, that's...
What's your next question?
That's they are fantastic. I do like them. Well done. I think you secretly support Spurs. But I think you do... Maybe you do Spurs kits better than you do Arsenal kits. Is that possible?
The only Arsenal one I've done so far, and wasn't. I don't think it even was on a Friday. It might have been, but it was... Arsenal in the Nike Vapor style, which is shit. But the only concession I made to Nike's what should we call it, propriety on changing designs wholesale was just giving Arsenal navy socks and keeping the white shorts. Whereas if Nike were still making Arsenal's kits, they'd have probably had fucking purple shorts or something like that.
I think it's interesting, and we'll get onto these things, but I think that Arsenal are such a brand that they'd be able to push back. They're a bigger brand than, say, England, who are struggling.
Yeah, you'd hope they would have. Barcelona and Brazil stood up to them. And who else? Norway. Norway's kit is nice and conventional. So, yeah. So, navy socks with Arsenal wouldn't have been completely... what's the word? It wouldn't have been totally wrong. So, you know, it might have been a kind of compromise. But we'll never know. And that's the beauty of... Hashtag Fantasy Kit Friday.
What are you saying? We might know at some point, or
no? That's the beauty of it. That it's just imagining what might have been.
The thing with Nike, and this has been talked about on other kit podcasts, which are available, is that. Someone said, I don't know if it was Chris Oakley or something on the Football Attic podcast, said that wouldn't Chelsea look good in the Nike kit thing because it's blue shirt, blue shorts or white socks. But obviously Nike next season will be wearing a Nike. Chelsea next season will be wearing a Nike kit, won't they? So
yeah, but let's just see what Nike have up their sleeves for Chelsea.
But if they stay true to this season's thing, which probably they won't, but if they did, then it would actually just dovetail nicely with what Chelsea want to do. But this isn't a podcast about Chelsea. This is a podcast about Arsenal. Now, Arsenal.
Yeah, we can do a podcast about Chelsea when our mother becomes president.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. She's not going to, by the way. That will never happen. We can listen back to this in a few months' time. In what, 4 months' time, we can listen back to this. Donald Trump will be president. That's what I'm going with.
Okay, but we won't be able to listen back to it because communications will be the first thing to go in the post-apocalyptic wasteland that we'll be inhabiting.
So, what year were Arsenal formed?
1886, but they weren't called Arsenal.
Were they called Dial Square?
Correct.
Okay, so give me a quick history of the kits back then. So, what did Dial Square wear in their first years?
They wore red shirts, plain red shirts. There is a myth that Nottingham Forest donated a full set of kits, but I think that has been kind of queried and disproven in recent years. Just at the start, I'll make a disclaimer. Pretty much anything that I say which sounds insightful is basically gleaned from the wonderful book The Arsenal Shirt by Simon Shakeshaft and James Elkin. Just so no one thinks I'm passing off any information they provided as my own, because it is an excellent book. It's probably my favourite book. Maybe a tie with that and David Copperfield. But, there was a couple of players who had played for Forest, and I'd say when the team gathered, they had red shirts, and it was probably just easier for the rest of the guys to row in with them. But as far as Forrest actually couriering down a full set of red shirts, I don't think that happened, as is kind of laid out in official histories. It's a bit too neat a story, I think.
I think you've forgotten a book there in when listing your favourite books.
Oh, True Colours 1 and 2?
Yep, Definitely those, Dennis. Definitely those. Okay, so red shirt. So that is the constant thing, and not many clubs have that, do they? Even I remember Cardiff when they changed to red shirts recently, very briefly, really. If you look at the whole picture, they had I think they had like a constant lineage of blue shirts right to their beginnings.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it is rare, but I suppose you'd have to draw a big distinction with Arsenal and the white sleeves. Like it was a huge change at the time, and I know you'd say the sleeves aren't a massive part, but I wouldn't kind of cast Arsenal as having the same strip all the way along.
No, but there is continuity in the red. The body of the shirt has been red since the beginnings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
not too many teams kind of had it, I reckon. Yeah.
Hmm. So that it is a rare thing. So that is it's something to be proud of, and Arsenal do like their traditions.
Yeah.
There's a lot of changes in Arsenal's history. They've moved around London quite a lot.
Yeah, they did move around London quite a lot, and they've settled in the same place now for the last 103 years.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm not actually a Tottenham fan, so you don't need to get so defensive.
I'm just saying out facts. I do know that a mutual friend of both of ours still likes to refer to Arsenal as Woolwich Wanderers.
Yeah. That football team that he supports are about to move stadium themselves, aren't they? Both in European competition and... I think maybe temporarily while they get their stadium sorted next season. Is that right?
Yeah,
are they
going to Wembley? Apparently so. And their new stadium will have 61,000 seats, which by pure coincidence is 1,000 more than Emirates Stadium.
Okay. No, yeah. Mm. I don't think that's deliberate. I think it's probably just a coincidence, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you mentioned, and you've taken us straight in there, that at some point Arsenal changed their sleeves to white. Now, tell the story factually, but very, very quickly, because we've already talked about this story. So as quickly as you can tell it without lying.
Did I mention it in a previous podcast, I think, did I? Basically, there was a cartoonist for the Daily Mail, Tom Webster, and he was playing golf with the Chelsea chairman, and he showed up for the game of golf wearing... blue sleeveless sweater over a white polo shirt, and the Chelsea chairman loved that look and said to his manager, let's change our kit. And the Chelsea manager said no, so Webster just happened to mention that story to Herbert Chapman, who thought, what a great idea, and said, let's do that with Arsenal, only obviously with red instead of white.
That's really good. That would have taken me about an hour.
It's a story I'm fairly familiar with at this stage. I could embellish it and add in extra little bits, but I won't.
Okay. Now, around this time, so we've got a red shirt with white sleeves now, and then we've got white shorts. And what were the socks that they were wearing at the time? Or was that a player's own socks, or was there uniformity there?
In the late 20s, early 30s, I think they were just plain navy socks. And, like, a big reason for the white sleeves, aside from fashion sensibilities, was to help the players identify each other more easily on the pitch. And another idea towards that end was to have hooped socks. But they couldn't find a red dye that wouldn't run in the wash. So the socks were navy and white hoops.
Okay. So that's good. I like that. But I think of Arsenal a lot of the time, and I don't know why that is, but I do think of them wearing white and navy hoop socks. So that seems to work, but it's only through necessity.
Yeah, but oddly, given how manufacturers these days love to come up with backstories for kit changes, Arsenal haven't had navy and white socks since the 50s, we'll say, apart from a couple of years in the late 60s. And since then, it's always been red and white socks. There were red and navy hoop socks for one season in 82-83, but they were very unpopular. but navy and white hoop socks have not returned with nearly 50 years.
Mm.
And you'd think that they would go back to that and even the kind of classic 1930s look, because Arsenal were regarded as the best club in the world back then. You'd think the manufacturers would kind of seek to harness that, but they haven't, because they're morons.
Yeah, the socks thing, that's something we can look back at, because maybe for the future it is something that we will be brought in, so we can discuss that in a minute. But we've got a few decades to go through before we get there. So if we're talking that sort of time, so pre-war, then post-war, and it's the red shirt and it's with the white sleeves and the white shorts, so then you've got the hoop socks with the navy, and then other things happen. 1950, what happened in the FA Cup final?
Arsenal played Liverpool, and the rule in the FA Cup back then was that when there was a clash of colours, both teams had to change, and obviously both teams' change shirts at the time were white, so there was another toss to see who'd change away from the white, and Arsenal lost that, and they decided to wear old gold shirts, and it's kind of it has been reverse engineered that that's the start of Arsenal being successful in yellow, but it's a completely different shade, and the yellow shirts, away shirts, weren't seen until the late 60s. So
it's, okay,
it's a bit like the Manchester United number 7 thing, being retrospectively applied to George Best.
Hmm. Now, do you want to give us a plug for that? You really should just give us a plug for that as well, shouldn't you?
Yeah, just on my other Squad Numbers blog, squadnumbers.wordpress.com, there is a piece about that legend of the Manchester United number 7, because George Best played more games wearing number 11 than any other shirt number for Manchester United. So read that, because it's really good.
Mm. It is really good. I've shared it. How many times do you think I've shared it? 4 or 5 at least?
At least, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that article. Now, I wouldn't have said that. That what you say there about the idea that the orange shirt that they... So Liverpool wore white in that final, did they?
White shirts with red collars and black shorts and red and white hoop socks.
Ah, the classic look. Now, Arsenal... Yeah. Arsenal wore... And that shirt is orange, really, isn't it? You say old
Pretty
gold,
much,
but
yeah.
It's orange.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amber.
So, that for me was a surprise when I heard about that shirt, because I think of Arsenal, as you say, in wearing yellow away shirts. So this is pre the yellow away shirts, and it was completely like, it's nothing to do with the yellow shirts, and it's not a contrast, but if we use, metaphorically speaking, it is a contrast to the many yellow away shirts that Arsenal have worn. So as you've brought that up, so we go, hold on, did Arsenal wear, go back to fully red shirts again? Did something like that happen?
Yeah. There had been a few lean years in the early 60s, and Frank McClintock actually decided it might be an idea to go back to red shirts to help revive their fortunes, and the manager, Billy Wright, decided to run with that idea, and it had zero effect on what happened on the pitch. And it was quickly reversed, I think, two or three seasons later.
Oh, it was reversed 2 or 3 seasons later. I thought you were going to follow that.
Oh, yeah, well, it was reversed. When Bertie Mee took over, he wanted to reverse it immediately, but the colours for the league season had been registered already. So it's probably 67, 68, I think. So they had to keep wearing the red in the league, but in the cup, they were able to register red shirts with white sleeves, so they basically had a cup kit that season. Arsenal, ever the trendsetters.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Oh yeah. Hmm. What you say about Billy Wright, is that the Wolves in England Billy Wright?
Yeah.
He was Arsenal manager.
Yeah, he wasn't a very good one, unfortunately. And I have a book. I have a book at home. The official history of Arsenal, 1886 to 1998. Actually co-written by Martin Tyler, and there's a picture of Wright at a typewriter, and it just says, you know, Billy Wright took over but unfortunately wasn't able to turn things around. And if you look closely at the picture on the typewriter, he's facing the camera, and the sheet coming out of the typewriter has the Arsenal letterhead also facing the camera, and there's a lovely pithy little sentence in the caption, and it says putting the paper in the wrong direction surely didn't help either.
Calamitous.
The
it did turn Arsenal's fortunes around then when they reverted back to reverted. Is that no?
Well, I think appointing Bertie Mee probably had a bigger effect than just simply changing the kit.
Why would you say that? What do you think this podcast is about? This isn't a football podcast. This is about.
Yeah, but we just we appreciate the visuals, but we don't give them alchemistic powers.
Well, maybe you don't. I might.
Yeah.
Then lots of things happen with Arsenal. They win a double, don't they? And
yeah.
Okay. Which year was that?
71. But they got to the League Cup final in 68 and 69. They won the Fairs Cup in 70. So they built gradually towards that double, to be fair.
Did they not lose to Swindon or somebody who were in the third division in the League Cup final?
69, yeah.
69. And then two seasons later, they won the double.
Yeah.
Okay, that's quite good. Okay, so now these yellow kits are coming in now. So this is where...
Yeah, they came in 68 because the Football League banned navy shirts and Arsenal's away kit was navy. When navy was banned, they decided to go with yellow and blue.
So that then became a staple for many, many years. And the white had gone by then. What was the last season that they wore the white? Because you say it as if it's normal. Oh, yeah, around that time, Arsenal had a white away shirt in say, the 1950 FA Cup final.
Oh, yeah, but everyone had white away shirts then, except the teams who had white home shirts. So until the mid-60s, they had a white chain shirt, basically. And then they changed to navy, and then yellow. The last time that they actually wore a white shirt was against Luton. Before them, the modern Nike white away shirts, against Luton in 1976, when Luton were in the first division and had orange home shirts. So Arsenal's red and yellow both clashed. So a plain white away shirt with no crest was worn.
Okay, all right. Because there was obviously there was an outcry. Was there an outcry in 2007? Was it? Was it 2007 when? Okay, yeah. So Nike brought back a white away shirt.
A white away shirt with red current shorts, and a lot of arseholes were up in arms.
Okay, because it's because of Tottenham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's just but. Like this kind of stuff used to always happen in the old days, but I think it's just the modern world and easier channels of communication and easier for people to be heard that this outcry seems to happen.
Yeah, sometimes they should happen, or the things that shouldn't happen. But the that one wasn't really a Tottenham kit, was it? You would never look at that and think it was a Tottenham kit.
No, unless you know you were insane, maybe.
There was one that they released a few seasons later.
Yeah, with the dark grey shorts.
Yeah, that was a little bit more Tottenham-y.
But it had red current pinstripes, so. I don't think you could look at it and think it was Spurs. Unless that was exactly what you were trying to look for.
Yeah.
Yeah, some and people. They mainly wore it in the Champions League. And obviously, you know, Spurs weren't in the Champions League in 2009, 2010.
So, in the 80s, there was another away kit. Was it an away kit? Is it 82, 83? Is that the season?
That's the one, yeah. Famous. It's referred to as the blue bottle kit, but it was mainly green. Green shirts with navy sleeves and navy shorts.
Well, is that a blue bottle? That's referring to the sort of fly, isn't it?
Yeah. Are they green and blue?
I think so, aren't they? I think they're like weird wavy colours. There's if you imagine the that Barcelona ice lolly kit, but in green and blue, that's what a blue bottle looks like, isn't it?
Oh, really? Okay, well, I take that back. So a blue bottle is probably perfect description to apply to it.
Okay, so they brought that in, and this was done popular shirt and kit.
Yeah, it only lasted a season.
Okay, only lasted a season.
Yeah, now, it was supposed to last 2 seasons, but... Oh, yeah, blue bottles do have a bit of green in them. Okay. My ignorance of nature showing up. Sorry, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, those shorts, were those shorts that were from that kit, were they seen in any other circumstances?
They were worn with the home shirt a couple of times that season, yeah. League Cup game, I think, at Everton, the away shorts and the away socks were worn with the home shirt.
Oh, that's not a good combination. That's not good.
No.
But with the home socks and... Oh, no, hold on. What time? Oh, no, but the home socks that season, were they hooped red and blue?
Yeah. So there was no logic at all to wearing the change socks.
No, fine.
They're changing
But that's a separate issue. I'm thinking about the kit as a whole when in the league games, where so everything's sort of tied in, didn't it? In a way. No, it didn't tie in. Well, the socks tied in with the shirt, and then the socks also tied in with the shorts.
The home socks or the away socks?
The home socks.
Yeah. So there was no need to wear the away socks with the home shirt like they did on one occasion.
Yeah, I'm just thinking aesthetics in the other games.
Yeah. Yeah, like from a distance it wouldn't have looked bad, but there was a green line down the side of the shorts.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. But this is another Arsenal thing, is they don't like to wear other shorts with their home kit.
No. For a time in the 70s, they did wear red shorts with the home kit. There's a few pictures of that floating around, but no, since that 1982-83 season, it has happened exactly once in a competitive game, and that was against Fenerbahce in 2013, when Fenerbahce's home kit basically provided the perfect storm, in that it was blue and yellow stripes with white shorts and white socks. So Arsenal's yellow and blue away couldn't have been worn. And the third was the horrific purple and black hooped kit from 2012-13. And because Fenerbahce's backs on their shorts were dark blue, that would have clashed as well. So the only solution, short of bringing out a fourth kit, was to wear different shorts with the home shirts. And they wore navy training shorts.
Okay. Well,
which
yeah,
didn't
I
look
remember
too bad because there was navy on the shirt and socks as well.
But you personally would have preferred red shorts.
I just think it would have looked better, but, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Okay. Yeah, so I do remember that well. And as you say, it very, very rarely happens that Arsenal wear any other colour than white shorts.
Yeah.
With their home shirt. Now, jumping a little bit forward, so we were talking about Umbro kits. They had that green and blue thing, which was controversial. Not a lot of people liked it. It's gone away. We haven't seen it come back. Score, draw, make a version of it, but we haven't seen it being revisited. There was a blue and green thing on the... Was it the first season of Puma? Is that right?
Yeah, but well, if I could just kind of make the point that the Far Eastern counterfeiters did think it was coming back, and you were able to get, inverted commas, Nike Arsenal green shirt with blue sleeves, but no, it hasn't come back. But yeah, the first of Puma's awful third kits was kind of light blue and dark blue diagonal hoops with lime green trim.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it wasn't particularly good. But the one you mentioned, the counterfeiters did, was, I think, 2006-07 season, wasn't it? Does that sound right?
Yeah, or also 7-08. I stuff to keep up with all those counterfeit ones. There was a famous blue and black striped one in the style of the Barcelona kit from that season. Just the four stripes and all the very wide stripes. And that just turned into a joke then among Arsenal fans on forums. It was like, what the next season's kit look like, and someone would post that shirt, because it had been rumoured heavily and then came to nothing.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay. So we were talking about Umbro kits, and then Adidas came along. Now, the formative years, they will skew your idea of what the definitive football kit for a particular team should look like. Now, the first Arsenal kit I remember was the 88-90 kit. Yeah. And that was that the first one that had the raglan sleeves?
Yeah. And it's funny, like, the first Arsenal kit I remember was that one's successor, the 90-92 one, which also had white shoulders, and it's probably still my favourite Arsenal shirt of the ones I've, you know, experienced. Basically, again, going on the excellent book by Simon and James, when they signed the deal with Adidas, originally Arsenal were standing firm and saying there can't be any Adidas stripes on the white sleeves. But then somehow the opposite compromise was reached, that only the sleeves would have the stripes, and that they couldn't appear on the red part. So that was the way it was for the 86-88 shirt. But then in 1988, Adidas decided to obey the letter of the law, basically, but extend the white sleeves all the way up to the neck, allowing greater exposure of the stripes. And clearly the Arsenal board were too gentlemanly to challenge that approach, and the next three Adidas home kits all had white shoulders.
Okay. See, that's because I would always think of an Arsenal shirt for many years. I don't know which season it was where that changed, because what did I suppose when Nike came in, they reverted back to the white just being on the sleeves and not the shoulders. Would that be right?
They went too far, because they only had white on half of the sleeves. The first Nike kit really toned down the amount of white. If you remember, the inside of the arm was red.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is interesting. We'll get to this as well. But going back to those kits, the 88-90 shorts, why were they like that? Why? And again, I have a skewed idea of what the definitive Arsenal kit should be, because I think that the trim on Arsenal shorts should be blue or navy rather than red, because of the 88-90 shorts. Now, they had the big blue panels on the sides. Now, why was that? Yeah. Why did that happen?
I have no idea.
And it's not mentioned, and I had a look, and I don't think it's mentioned in the book, is it, in the Arsenal shirt book?
I don't think so, no. It was just a design decision by Adidas. Like, there's a very faint red outline on the Adidas stripes, when logically the opposite would have looked nicer, a red panel with navy trim on the stripes. It was just a decision Adidas took. It did mean that when they wore the white shorts with the yellow away shirt at the likes of Southampton, that they kind of tied in a bit better, but I don't think that was the reason.
They tied in so well that later in the 90s, Tottenham actually got that as a first choice away kit, didn't they?
Well, you could say that, but that was just to allow interchangeability with their home shirt. The three seasons Tottenham had Adidas, the away shirts were yellow and then navy and then sky blue, and on each occasion the away shorts and socks were white with navy trim to allow them to be used as alternative sets for the home.
Did they perfectly match the home shirt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the on the away shirt, the first We're talking about Spurs again now, yeah?
Yeah.
The away shirt was yellow with a black kind of... wasn't, you wouldn't call it, or sorry, not black, navy. Nearly full sleeves, and then three white stripes, and it was the same on the shorts. So there was no yellow on the shorts or socks.
Ah. Okay, so that was the purpose of it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that is interesting. Okay, so Nike come along, as you mentioned, and then the only thing about Nike is that they brought back the... there's lots of different things that happened there. As you say, they removed a lot of the white on the sleeves. I think it's the 2008 shirt that had a big stripe down the side of the shirt and on the outside of the sleeves, but they were red sleeves, weren't they? Is that right?
No, they weren't, and I refuse to acknowledge the existence of said shirt.
But you do, that is actually correct, yeah?
It was a Charlton shirt, basically.
I will refer back to that shirt as well. But we will talk about something positive that Nike did. And Nike brought back the hooped socks that had been... would you say they've been gone for a long time, or do you dispute that?
Nike did bring back the hooped socks, yeah.
Okay.
And that was
red and white hoops.
Yeah, they were a bit too narrow for my liking, though, the hoops. I would have liked just thicker hoops, but that's just a personal opinion. The big change Nike did in 94 was having a navy away kit, which was revolutionary, really, given that Arsenal had yellow away kits for 26 or 7 years before that.
Okay, but this was something that was made possible because the Premier League dictated that referees would no longer wear black kits, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay. I presume that was part of the reason. But if the refs still were wearing black, I presume Nike would have just come up with a different colour. I think they just wanted to announce their arrival by saying, look at us, we're brash, we're new, take that tradition.
And Puma have gone the other way, because every season, we're now 3 seasons in, and every season they have provided Arsenal with something even more like the Anfield 89 shirt.
Yeah.
Would you... Something that nods to that, at least.
Arsenal are kind of unique at the moment in the Premier League in that every away kit, well, the past 4 seasons in a row, has been basically yellow. I know last season was more gold, but it's rare to see that because a lot of teams do a lot of teams do it anymore, that the away kit becomes the next season's third kit. Arsenal did it for a while, and it was very popular in the 2000s, the last decade, but now a lot of teams just seem to bring out 3 new kits, and clearly Puma have said to Arsenal, oh, we know you like yellow away kits, we'll give you one of those every year, on condition we give you a horrendous third kit. So they're 3 for 3 in that regard.
They've got a luminous... is it a luminous thing at the minute? Is there...
Which has been worn against fucking Watford.
Yeah, that created more problems than it solved, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. That left me very, very disillusioned.
Just go back to Adidas. The Anfield kit, what we call the Anfield 89 shirt, which we've just referred to with the yellow shirt, yellow body, and navy sleeves, navy shorts, navy socks. Is that right?
No, yellow socks. Arsenal.
Yellow socks with navy tops.
Just 3 yellow stripes. Yellow socks with 3 navy stripes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Now, that kit was kept for 3 seasons, and it was very popular because of what happened at Anfield in 1989, should I give a spoiler alert here? But if you've ever read Harry Potter, the Harry Potter book, The Prince of Azkaban, If you've never read it, you should read it if you're aware of the events that happened at Anfield in 1989. That's my opinion.
Okay.
But yeah. Anyway, so they kept that kit was very popular, so they kept it for three seasons. Now this meant the famous Bruised Banana shirt, which had a trefoil logo and had the normal stripes down the sleeves and this crazy pattern, that came out in 1991. Yeah. While other teams, such as Liverpool, were getting the big obnoxious bars on the shoulder and the Adidas equipment logo. Now,
I saw both of those kits at exactly the same time in an ad in Shoot in July 91, I suppose it was. And at the time, it didn't register with me. But it is very strange when you think about it. Like, here Adidas saying, on the one hand, you know, look at us, we have a new logo, things are going to change. And then they're giving the Champions of England a kit which basically has all the trappings of the previous style. So the best guess is that it was supposed to come out in the summer of 1990, but they decided to keep on the other one for the three seasons, so things were pushed back a year. But if you look at the shorts of the Bruised Banana kit, they are a little bit longer than what had been seen for the 80s. And like Tottenham, obviously in the 91 Cup final, premiered the new longer shorts. The Liverpool shorts were a little bit longer as well. So that seemed to be a 1991 development. So that's the only thing that kind of makes me question that theory that it should have been 1990. It's an odd one, isn't it?
But when you see that the Premier League this season have done a whole new rebrand but kept the old shirt numbers and names font, you can see that these things do happen sometimes.
Yeah, in stages, I know. There's definitely some logic to what we're saying here, because it just wouldn't have made any sense at all if you were giving Arsenal a brand new kit, not to give them the same as what they were doing with Liverpool. So
the only thing
in a parallel universe, Arsenal's away kit in 91 was basically the same as the Sweden kit from that time. The yellow with the three blue over the shoulder.
Yeah. Well, but the thing that they had in 93, was that new for that season?
Yeah.
So in 1993, they had the three big bars, didn't they?
Yeah. All the way.
So, and they had that for one season, is that right?
Yeah, because they changed Nike a year later.
So was that one a new style in 1993, or had clubs had that the previous season?
No, Arsenal were the first ones to have it. And there were kind of two versions of it. There was that one which Arsenal had, where there was a gap for the sponsor, and the stripes were broken just directly horizontally. But then below the sponsor, they all shuffled across one, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But then there was another style that Bayern Munich had, where the stripes were squared off, like on the Liverpool kit.
Yeah.
So there was two versions, basically. I think Arsenal's stripes might have been a bit thicker as well, with less of a gap between them. That's getting very technical.
Yeah. Now, going back to the Bruised Banana, I don't know if you've seen, there have been some leaks of the new River Plate kits, which I don't know if they're going to be released this year or early next year or something, but one of them has the Bruised Banana pattern.
Saw that River Plate one. It will be interesting. All right. But Adidas have kind of been rehashing that a bit in kind of casual wear the last while. There's zippy tops you can get at the moment that have that pattern in kind of rasta colours with these blobs that look like cow's udders as well in the middle of it. I don't know what the thinking is behind it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen at Adidas, but we care about the football side of things. But River Plate did have that pattern, didn't they?
They did, in the early 90s, the red and white version,
Okay, all right. So it's not revisiting Arsenal necessarily, it's just the pattern.
No, but, no. I have a few. I think, was it? Was the RCS, did they have it? Which was like basically Czechoslovakia in their final World Cup qualifying campaign. Mm. Romania might have had it. It was seen on a few different kits.
It must have been team wear. Do you not think?
It depends on how strict your definition of team wear is, I suppose.
Well, I would say it was. It might not have been popular, but I think it may have been available to pub teams.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think it would have been more widespread if it was team wear.
Okay. Now, we've gone through. I don't want to talk too much about the pubic kits because
okay,
there's the red current thing, and so in 2005 Arsenal had a. I'm gonna go for the really fast way of explaining this. In 2005, Arsenal had a red current kit for their last season at Highbury, which was supposed to be a nod to an old kit, but it turned out that that was incorrect. It wasn't. They had never worn red current in the past, although there is. It says in Shakey's book that Sparta Prague were inspired by Arsenal kits at some stage. So I don't know what is actually correct. Do you know?
Yeah, I presume the shade of red would say that Arsenal had. Well, this is true, definitely true, that when Arsenal had plain red shirts, the red was darker than the red that the white sleeve shirts had. Because that is mentioned in the newspaper articles from 1933. It specifically classes the red sleeveless pullovers that they wore over the white shirts as being pillar box red. So the red before that was a bit darker without being red current. So Sparta Prague probably adopted that red and then gradually got darker themselves, I think, is the most reasonable explanation.
Okay. So that's Nike covered, more or less. There's some various things happened with Nike, but none of it hugely interested. Same with Puma. They've come along and they've done this thing this season with the stripe down the middle. Now, I thought it was going to be like the Manchester United shirt, where you've got like two tones of the same red, so the one half is darker than the other half. But it's almost a purple colour, the stripe on the Arsenal shirt. It doesn't look good.
Is it actually purple? I don't think I've actually seen it in the material yet.
It's so oh, maybe purple's the wrong word. It's so much darker. It doesn't look like a tonal thing. It looks like a different colour has been put on the shirt, which
it's like whatever it is, even if it was tonal, I think it's a stupid idea.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah. Okay. So that brings us nicely on to what would be your perfect Arsenal kit. What elements from the past would you keep, or what elements would you get rid of?
I suppose the ideal one is from when they won the double. Like it's hard to quibble with any element of that, really, isn't it? Just red, white round neck, white sleeves with a red cuff. You know,
yeah.
it's Like, my favourite Arsenal shirt of recent times was the 2010-11 reimagination of that, where I dock Marks slightly for having the cuff too large. Other than that, it was perfect.
Okay. And did they only have that for one season or what?
Yeah. Yeah, the following season was the 125th anniversary one, where the round neck was red and there was a stripe down the sleeve.
Yeah, but that was just like a Nike thing, wasn't it? It wasn't.
Yeah, of course.
Specific to Arsenal. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Nike be Nikeing.
Yeah, yeah. The I would dispute your argument. What you would have white shorts, and what colour socks would you have then?
I don't know really. Like, red obviously is historically more. More accurate, and those socks from the 70s, red with one white stripe, were really nice. But I've come around to liking white socks in, like, we'll say in the past 20 years. Seeing, like, I suppose you'd associate them with a successful period. This year is the first year since 2004-05 that the first choice socks have been red.
Yeah. I saw something the other day. Do you remember I told you a while ago I went to the Puma store in London, and they last season they had the mannequins wearing the red socks instead of wearing the white socks. Okay, this season they've got the mannequins wearing white socks.
Okay,
so that's two seasons in succession they've got the socks wrong in the in their own shop. They're wearing change socks.
Bizarre, yeah. But actually, that 125th anniversary kit I mentioned, when that was launched, the pitchers had the players in red socks, but then by the time the season started, they were white.
Okay. Also, the Nike... I don't know if I mentioned this already. I don't know if I have. On the subject of socks, on the Nike advert before the European Championship...
European Championship.
Either. Yeah.
I like to add.
There's there was an advert with Ronaldo, and he changes place with someone. In that advert, Portugal playing against England or something, and Portugal are wearing their first choice away socks with their home kit.
Yeah.
Blue socks with their red and green home kit in that advert. Yeah. Why would they make a mistake like that?
It would really annoy the likes of us, wouldn't it?
It did annoy the likes of me.
Did you see Portugal against Switzerland the other night?
They've lost the Raglan sleeves, haven't they? Now, what would be the thinking behind that?
I don't know. Like...
Well, they haven't lost the Raglan sleeve. Obviously, the construction of the shirt hasn't changed, but it's no longer a contrast. It's a different. It's the same colour as the body, isn't it?
Yeah, like in FIFA's, or not FIFA's, UEFA's official PDFs for kit selections during the Euros, it had that kit listed as one of their options, the same way that France had their away kit 2.0, but I don't know why you'd need... Like, in the European Championship, they wore the away kit against Wales. And there was no problem. So why you'd need to wear this slightly modified version against Switzerland, I have not got a clue.
Because the sleeves, when the shirt's folded, the sleeves are folded behind it, and the kit man's picked up the wrong kit. Because he's thought it was the first choice one, and he's ended up picking up the other one.
A lot of your proposed solutions to questions like this involve mistakes by kitmen. like, did a kitman steal your girlfriend or something?
No. But yeah, that's close to the bone.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so I would dispute what you say about the ideal Arsenal kit. But I'm going to start from the bottom. Now, this is the bit that I have trouble with, because I think I would prefer Arsenal to have white, as I mentioned earlier, white and blue hooped socks.
Yeah, I would like to see white and blue socks.
But I would have them white and blue and hooped. But then I have a problem because the ideal shorts I would have for Arsenal... So that's a mismatching element, in effect. You might have a little bit of navy or something in the shirts that ties in, but it's a mismatching element. But I also want the shorts to have a sizable amount of blue or navy trim rather than the red trim. So I think I can only have one or the other, really, can't I? If I have the navy... Like,
the question is the ideal Arsenal kit rather than what you think based on the year you started watching football.
Well, but that is... My reality is reality. So I can only pick the ideal Arsenal kit from my point of view.
And I can only do the same. You ask me the question, and then you say you have to dispute it as if I'm putting mine forward as the definitive one. And anyway, if we ever did get a kit which was deemed by President Donald Trump to be the ideal Arsenal kit, it would only last a season anyway before we get some fucking thing with orange go faster stripes.
Okay. the shirt, now this is where I'm going to blow your mind. Now, you said you listened to the Austin Long podcast with me. Not his podcast. The one that, when he came on, we talked about Manchester United.
Well, now, I listened to both of them.
Okay, but you listen to all kit podcasts. But the one I'm referring to is the Manchester United one. Now, he talked about the perspiration changing the colour of the shirt. So, for Portugal,
so
he mentioned...
the halving effect isn't noted.
Well, yeah, for Manchester United in that case. But he said that there was a Portugal kit that seemed a strange colour, but then when the players started sweating, it then changed into the normal Portugal colour.
Yeah.
Because the sweat was shown, okay, because the shirt was then wet. So that is to say that performance on the pitch affects the look of the kit to make it into the definitive look that it should hold. So I put this to you: with Arsenal, in the case of Arsenal, they should have red shirt, red sleeves, and underneath the sleeve, the underside of the sleeve and on the side of the shirt should be white. So if they're just standing there doing nothing, they don't look like Arsenal. But if they're running around, the proportion of white increases enormously. And then they, in the blink of an eye, they look like Arsenal again. What do you think of that?
I think why would the side of the shirt be white?
Because if your arms are by your side, you cover up the side of the shirt. So you are covering up both the white that's on the inside of the arm and the white that's on the side of the shirt. So the shirt looks completely red. But then when you start moving around, both are exposed.
And the outside of the sleeve is red.
Outside of the sleeve is red, yeah.
And you're calling that the ideal Arsenal shirt?
I think it's an idea that I'm proposing, which incorporates...
If you drew that kit, it would be a Norway kit.
Well, Norway had... Didn't Norway have the Arsenal kit?
But that was a variation for them. A Norway kit is red with a bit of white. White shorts and navy and white socks.
Okay.
They had white sleeves. They had the same as Arsenal in 92-93. But that was a bit out of the ordinary for them.
But they had that shirt with a trefoil rather than the Adidas Equipment logo that Arsenal had.
Yeah, and they also had three navy stripes down the sleeve.
As well as having the...
Yeah.
There's a lot of branding on that shirt.
The away was basically those sleeves with a white body. And I kind of... I often wish Arsenal would have just a white version of the home shirt, but they never do.
No. I suppose they couldn't do it with the raglan sleeves, but they could probably get away with it if they had a season where they had just like the red shoulders on the home kit, and then when you flip that round...
Well, it wouldn't matter. You could have it no matter what the sleeves were like. Because you can wear a plain white shirt at Liverpool and at Manchester United. It doesn't matter what Arsenal's kit is like because they've changed out of it for an away game against a team in red. Arsenal isn't going to happen. No, a white version of it. I didn't say a reversal.
Oh, okay.
This is a plain white shirt. So basically, the body changes and the sleeves stay white.
Okay. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. They should do that. Go back to my idea for Arsenal, because I think of Arsenal as sprinting on the counter-attack, as that is the modern way of Arsenal. So that's when the white would be visible. But also, from a traditional point of view, when the four defenders raise their arms to claim offside, then you would have the white exposed as well, wouldn't you?
Well, it depends which side of the stadium you're sitting at.
That is true. The other side wouldn't see it, would they?
Yeah, they just think, oh, wow, that's a lot of red.
Well, why are the Norwegians claiming offside?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is my idea for an Arsenal kit. I think yours is probably going to be more popular. But this could be part of the
alternating. How about this as a compromise? So that the shirt is red, but there's some kind of heat fucking recognition technology that the beads of sweat cause the red on the sleeves only to turn white. So you turn it into an Arsenal shirt by working hard.
So yeah, well, that's what I said that in the last podcast. How closely were you listening?
On the last podcast, it was just normal sweat, just making the whole thing look dark. This is something changing from red to white.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it's different weaves and different fabrics used for different parts of the shirt in order to change the sleeves to white.
Yeah, and if it is different weaves and fabrics, they can reference the 1933 development, because it was the first few times it was literally a red sleeveless jumper worn over a white away shirt.
Okay. Dennis, we've talked a lot about Arsenal. We haven't talked about the fact that everyone has to wear long sleeves, but everyone has to wear long sleeves if the captain decides to wear long sleeves. Does that sum that up?
Everyone has to wear short sleeves if the captain decides that too.
Yeah. Okay. Apart from the goalkeeper.
Obviously, because he's wearing a different shirt to everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, let's say.
So in the old days, the outfielders would have short sleeves and the goalkeeper would have long sleeves, and the world kept turning. So it's because a shirt with contrasting sleeves, it does distinctly alter the look of it. So it looks worse. Of all the styles, it looks worse when some have long and some have short.
I'd never looked at it that way before, but I agree with that. You've only told half the story there when you've said that in the past they would wear short sleeves and the goalkeeper would wear long sleeves, because now we occasionally have the reverse, don't we?
Because you were saying that. I took it to mean that you had brought up the keeper wearing short sleeves.
Well, the goalkeeper could wear short sleeves now. I don't know if they do without wearing a base layer. I don't know if that's happened, but
Off the top of my head, there does always seem to be a base layer present, yeah.
There's a base layer present for the goalkeepers when they decide to wear short sleeves or cut-off sleeves. Sometimes it's difficult to tell. Okay, so that's Arsenal summed up. Is there anything that we've forgotten to talk about Arsenal? To mention regarding Arsenal?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's excellent. Now, what other things you've got going on? You mentioned earlier you've got the Fantasy Kit Fridays. That is a hashtag. So if you put that hashtag into Twitter, and maybe even Facebook as well, if you put Fantasy Kit Fridays into that.
Friday, singular.
You will Fantasy Kit Friday. Fantasy Kit Friday as a hashtag into Twitter, you will find all the recent Fantasy Kit Friday kits that Dennis has done, and they are fantastic. These Tottenham ones that you mentioned are probably my favourites of recent times. They're very, very good.
Can you get hashtags on Facebook as well?
Yeah, you could use hashtags on Facebook as well, yeah. So it's worth doing.
I know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You should definitely look into that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for example, Design Football has recently been sharing Fantasy Kit of the Days. Is it Fantasy Kit of the Days or Fantasy Kits of the Day?
It depends, really, doesn't it? I think...
I'm going to go...
I think you're going to go with what?
I'm going to go with the former.
Yeah, I would agree because it's a load of singulars rather than one plural.
Yeah. Okay. So they're being shared on from Design Football social media at the minute. It's hashtag FKOTD. So you can see we're only up to. Well, I don't know when this is published. Maybe will it be up to date? But we've been sharing things from earlier this year, so we're behind on the fantasy kit of the days. But you can see what the Design Football members have been producing and what has been being classed as the best kit of that day. Because that's all we do.
For cottage.
At Design Football. Yeah, exactly. For cottage. What else have you been up to? Squad numbers, there are various things going on to the squad numbers blog as well, yeah?
Yeah, it's been updated kind of as and when things happen, with occasional kind of historical pieces too. It's just kind of my ramblings on various things regarding numbers. And then on Museum of Jerseys, there's also an ongoing series on... the evolution of Adidas goalkeeper kit designs. Taking 1980 as kind of a rough year zero. So that's still only very early in that. So the next installment will be part 3, which is looking at the horizontal tonal stripes.
Horizontal?
Sorry, diagonal.
Diagonal, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Diagonal.
I look forward to that. I've very much enjoyed part 1 and part 2. Very, very much enjoyed them.
Thanks.
They Everyone should go and check those out. You are on social media, as we've mentioned. What is it on Twitter?
@ Museum of Jerseys and @ SquadNoz.
SquadNoz. And on Facebook, it's just Museum of Jerseys on Facebook, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Facebook kind of needs a bit more work, but that'll all happen in due course. And I keep saying I'll start an Instagram, and life gets in the way.
Museumofjerseys.com, I think it is on Facebook.
That's indeed good.
You should head over there and head over to the website as well. And squadnumbers.wordpress.com. Okay, yeah. So that's another thing that people should visit. Thank you, Dennis, for this. We are designfootball.com, designfootball on Twitter, designfootball.com on Facebook. If someone wants to speak to me, I am J29ers on Twitter as well. But this has been very enjoyable. We might do some more club-type podcasts, club-centric podcasts, or team-centric podcasts. But there will be a new podcast on the way soon, regardless. So thank you again, Dennis. Thank you for coming on. I hope this has been enjoyable for you.
It has indeed, Jay, as always. Like I said at the outset, it's one of the best kit podcasts there is.
Finish as we started. Yeah. So thank you for that, Dennis. And I'll speak to you soon. Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.